Thank you, Kina and Kirsten, for beautiful, beautiful message. There is none like you. And what a privilege, brothers and sisters, to be able to come together on the Sabbath to praise our God. Because He is good, amen? He does take care of us. And He has a plan for each one of you. I would like to, at this moment, ask if there are any former Pathfinders here. Those of you who, maybe a year or two, or maybe 10 or 20 years ago, were Pathfinders. Would you please stand? Because I want our Pathfinders here at our Fallbrook Church to know that there are other Pathfinders who are here. Yes, and that are part. And can we give them a hand, please? Thank you. As many of you know, also on Monday, we celebrate something very special here in our country. Yes? Those who have served in the armed forces. And so could we also ask our veterans who are here present, or those who are still in active service, to please stand. Amen. Thank you for your service. As many of us have been watching on the news, our hearts have gone out to all those who are on this path of fiery flames. We got news of what was happening in Northern California and Paradise and Chico through my sister, who lives in Forest Ranch, which is not too far from Paradise. And Thursday morning, she called me, "Sam, we're evacuating." And I thought, "Evacuating?" She said, "Yes, we were evacuating. There's a fire." Now, for those of you who don't know what Paradise looks like, it's a beautiful place. This past May, I had the opportunity of being with my parents, and I had asked my dad and my mom, "I've been coming to Chico and then to Forest Ranch for almost 10 years. I've never been to Paradise. Never. I've heard of we have a hospital there. I've heard we have a church there. We have a school there." So my dad and mom said, "I'll take you, Sam. We'll go and we'll visit." And you can see it's beautiful. Big trees. Beautiful community. And as we were driving up and then back down, you could just see around all these canyons and just beautiful views of the valley from up there. My sister lives in Forest Ranch, and she has a view of Paradise. And this is my sister with her two kids, and that's her backyard. She sees all those trees. And so when she called and said, "Sam, I'm evacuating," is because this over here was looking very different from what we see in this picture. You see, I see some big clouds. I see fire coming really quickly. Sam, it looks like a bomb went off. And my sister said that somebody just called from Paradise, and she said, or he said, "It's dark. We can't see very well, and it's chaos here. Everybody's trying to get on the road, and we're not moving." And with tears, and this is a Hispanic man. If you know anything about Hispanic men, they're not supposed to cry. Okay? They're taught that. But here's one that does cry, okay? So he was crying. He was saying, "I don't know if I'm going to make it out alive." So my sister heard that. She said, "Sam, I'm just wanting to let you know we're not under mandatory evacuation, but it looks really close. It looks really bad. We're leaving." I said, "Okay, how about Mom?" Mom already went home to pick up some things. And my mom was staying with my sister. My dad and brother-in-law are in Saudi Arabia today on Sabbath, sharing the gospel. Amen? And so they're sharing with brothers and sisters that meet in a home. They don't meet in a church. And they come from different parts of the world. And they're so just delighted to have someone come and share with them the word of God. And so they're following it from there. They're calling, making sure everyone's okay. So my mom went home and she saw a file there that said, home. She said, I better take this file. She saw my dad's laptop. I think I better take this. And she went to her closet, got some clothes, put in her suitcase, got in the car, and headed down and told my sister, I'll meet you at the church. Church, the Chico Spanish Church, is farther away from Forest Ranch and Paradise, so she thought that would be a good place to be. My sister loaded up her two cats, mittens, and boots. She loaded up, it seems like her whole pantry went into her car. She wanted food for whatever reason, lots of it too. The refrigerator emptied it out too and got her clothes and suitcases and just said, okay, we're headed down. My mom reached the gas station and she said that it was chaos there. Everybody was trying to get gas and no one was following any rules anymore. Everyone was on his own. And so she got in line and got to fill her tank and then she headed to the church. She waited an hour. She waited 2 hours. And my sister didn't show up. So she was calling me. She was calling my wife. And saying, hey, Rachel's not here yet. Well, what happened? Well, my mom, as she was coming down, she saw all these people going back up the mountain, those who were working in the valley there in Chico. And they were going back to see what they could get before the fires got too close. And so on their way back down, that meant there were more cars. So my sister was just going 4 or 5 miles an hour down the hill and just trying to get back to the church to meet my mom. They had already planned to leave Chico for the weekend. My niece, who's 13 years old, she's competing with 15 and 16-year-olds for Bible Bowl. And basically she's competing with 1st and 2nd Timothy. And so they had plans already to leave the Chico area. They went to Sacramento that Thursday night. They got to Sacramento at 3 a.m. Everybody was on the road, so it was very slow to get even out of Chico. And the news that we have been hearing, and maybe what I have here even at this moment is old news, but just so you have an idea, this right here is supposed to be paradise. This is all Chico, the valley. And Forest Ranch is somewhere up here. And I think my sister lives around here. So this is what she was seeing. She said, we need to get out. These are some statistics that I've read through the news. And maybe it's old already. 6,713 structures destroyed by fire. 9 dead in paradise. 90,000 acres. The most destructive wildfire in California history so far. And at its fastest pace, it was burning at a rate of 80 football fields per minute. It was going fast. That people got out of paradise is a miracle. A miracle, brothers and sisters. And when my sister called and said, Sam, pray, I said, I'm not going to be the only one praying. I'm going to ask my church family to pray too. And so I asked Lorraine, could you please send out an email? Just have people pray for our family members, church members, friends who are in that area. And I can say, brothers and sisters, that prayer does work. Amen? And if there's an invitation that I see in Scripture, God is inviting us all to pray, especially in our moment of need. I have a few more pictures here of some of the, just grabbing them from the internet. And These are some of the scenes that they were capturing. Just almost impossible. What would seem, at least for us humans, impossible to survive and get out of. But God in his word, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, he says, "If my people who are called by my name..." Who would that be, brothers and sisters? Would that be us? Well, what do we call ourselves? Christians, right? "If my people who are called by my name will do what? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face." How do we seek God's face, brothers and sisters? Can we see him when we read his word? That's the best place to find him. Can we see him in nature, in his creation? Well, we can see him there as well. And God is inviting his people to humble themselves, to pray, to seek his face, and to turn from their wicked ways. Does that include us too, brothers and sisters? It does include us too. He says, "Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Talking with my mom on the phone as they were headed to Nevada, she was saying, "Sam, this is of an apocalyptic nature. This is different. What we're hearing is different. What we're seeing is different." And Pathfinders who are here today, I want to invite you, Pathfinders, to take time to read the Word of God, to make this the foundation and the basis of every decision that you make. We are living in a time where we can't play church anymore. We can't. We can't continue living the way I am living. It's different, brothers and sisters. And God wants to pour his Holy Spirit upon his people. But he will only do this if we humble ourselves. Amen? He will only do this if we pray. Amen? He will only do this if we seek his face. Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus invites us to be the light of the world. "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in home or in the house." And Jesus invites his disciples, "Each one of us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Jesus says these words, and then he follows up with this, brothers and sisters. "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." The next verses, he invites his disciples to follow the word of God like never before. Yes, there were those who were there, and they said, "Check, I have done that. Check, I've done that." But Jesus goes beyond the letter of the word, and he says, "Do it in such a way that others may see your good works and give glory to your Father." He says, "For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." All is fulfilled. Brothers and sisters, and I want to say that if we think these are bad times, worse things are ahead of us. And if we cannot come together in these times? Do you think we're going to come together when it gets more difficult? Is God calling us to be ready today? Is God only wanting us to read His Word to be informed? Or is He inviting us to read His Word so that we might be transformed? You have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not murder." And whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, you have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not commit adultery." But I say to you, Jesus is inviting us to a higher calling. He's inviting us to be different, to be a light in this world of darkness, to share with others what He has so freely and abundantly shared with you and me. Amen? Have you found hope in Jesus? I've found hope in Jesus. And He invites us to be this amazing light in this very dark world. This week has not been particularly easy for me. It's been different in so many ways. And praise the Lord for Wednesday night prayer meeting, amen? Where we can come together and study God's Word in the middle of the week. I know for many of you, you live far from here and it's impossible to come. But we are taking the time to go through the minor prophets, and we studied the book of Zechariah, and in there we found how God wants to use His people and how He wants to put a hedge of protection around His people and how He wants to bring His people out of darkness. Zechariah chapter 12, where He wants to pour His Spirit upon His people. Because we are reminded it is not by might nor by power, but by my Holy Spirit, says the Lord. And as I was reflecting on some of the things that have happened this week, I've been heart-searching. Yes, I've been thinking a lot. God, what is it that You want me to do? And what I heard time and time again, I think, this week was, be ready. Be ready. Really, God, that's what You want me to do. Be ready. The elections this past Tuesday, was not my big concern. My dad and brother-in-law going to Saudi Arabia on Wednesday was not my big concern. Getting a call from my mom and sister saying, "Hey, we're leaving because it looks really, really bad here in Forest Ranch." And that wasn't my big concern. But on Friday, I received a call that my mom, again, on the bus, connecting with me. And after all that they went through on Thursday, she said, "Sam, I have something to tell you." And I'm going to stop there, because on Thursday, as I was going home, 15 minutes away from my house, does anybody recognize that car? Probably not. It's too dark. It's my Honda Civic. I got rear-ended. And so it got towed. And that wasn't my concern. I think maybe the insurance company will give me maybe $2,000. It had 316,000 miles. bought it with 2,000 miles. So I was hoping 400,000, but maybe not. We'll see. They're still going to tell me if they're going to repair it or not. But that wasn't my concern, brothers and sisters. What really hit home this week happened on Friday. And my mom told me the story that just happened on Thursday, too. It happened a little earlier. And it has to do with this man right here. And you probably notice there's someone here behind that you know. And that's Martin. And this is my mom's first cousin, Frank Labrador, his brother, Joel Labrador. And he has Joel's grandson right there. And he lives in Cuba, Havana, Cuba, and his wife, Estrella. And they were going to Mexico City for the first time. As Cubans, they need a visa to come to the United States. And the embassy in Cuba has gone through a lot, as we know. And so it's gotten a lot more difficult to get visas to come to the United States there in Havana. So he made an attempt to go to Mexico City, go to the American embassy there, and say, hey, can I get a visa to come? And they took his passport, they took his information, boom. And they were going to give him a 5-year visa to come visit family here in the United States. And so he was going to pick up these passports yesterday. Sorry about that. And he was going to pick up the passports yesterday. On Thursday at 3 p.m. Mexico City time, that would be 1 p.m. our time, he was with his wife in this big city, and they were shopping, and he went into a store, and his wife said, I'm going to go to this other store over here, and we'll meet there, if that's okay with you. And he said, sure, I'll just step right in here, and I'll meet you very soon. Now, the other store was across the street, and when he went in and was looking at some things, he heard a commotion outside, and so he went outside to see what was the commotion, and to his deep regret, he saw his wife on the street. A big truck or car had hit her. And she was just there laying down, and she passed away instantly. And my mom said, can you imagine? I go, wow, I can't, Mom. Married to her over 40 years. They didn't have kids. That was all he had. And I gave him a call. I called his family in Florida. He has siblings there. I said, hey, can you give me a phone number to call to Mexico City and talk with Frank? And so they shared with me what had happened, And they said, Sam, Estrella was ready, Sam. She was ready. She was ready. She has a sister who has cancer, stage 4 or 5. And then they had taken her into their home, and they were taking care of her. They were praying for her. She would fast for her sister because her sister is dying. And she didn't even want to go to Mexico City because she didn't want to leave her sister. But she said, go so you can get your visa and then can go visit family in the United States. And I called Frank, and Frank said, people. And people was like, buddy. Kenya, I can't believe what just happened. And he's there alone, doesn't know anybody in Mexico. I said, I'm going to get you connected with family that I have in Mexico City. I have lots of family in Mexico City. And so I called my uncle Hiram, and he said, I'll take care of him. And pastors there of the Seventh-day Adventist Church says, hey, they're taking care of me here too. They are with me day and night, making sure what he wants to do is just get her remains, her, you know, and take them back to Cuba and have a burial there for her. But something that he said was this. He said, Samuel, I can tell you, she was sealed. She was sealed. I don't know, Sam, if I'm sealed or we, any of us is sealed. But I know that estrella, which means star, which means in our language, brightness, she had a relationship with Jesus. And brothers and sisters, if there's anything I want to share with each one of you here today, is we need to be ready. We need to be ready. Don't take for granted what you have. Say to your kids, I love you. Amen? Say to your spouse, I love you. Say to your friends that are sitting right next to you, I love you. We live in a sinful world. And yes, bad things happen to everyone, yes? And if I understand what God is trying to tell us is, if there's ever a time to shine, it is now. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3, our scripture reading. I want to share this with you. What God tells his people in the times that we are living. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Can we shine on our own strength, brothers and sisters? We can't. We need whose glory? God's glory, his character, to be reflected through us. God tells us why we need to shine. He says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Is there darkness covering the earth right now? There's darkness covering the earth. And deep darkness, the people. Are there still many who don't know about Jesus? Still millions of people who don't know about him. And the invitation God is making to each one of us, especially us pathfinders, is to rise and shine. And the Bible tells us how. Verse 2, but the Lord will arise over you. And praise God for who he is. And his glory will be seen upon you. Where is his glory going to be seen? Among us. And how is that glory going to be reflected, brothers and sisters? As we love one another, yes? As we share with one another. As we listen to one another. As we pray for one another. Do we need to be praying? We need to be praying. As we study together. It's different. It's not the same. And God is inviting us all to ask, and he promises to give. To give his Holy Spirit so that we can reflect him in all that we do, in all that we say. The promise that God gives us here in his word is that Gentiles shall come to your light. We won't have to invite them. We won't have to put out a Facebook ad or a newspaper ad. They'll come, brothers and sisters. They're going to say, what is it that you guys have? Why aren't you guys troubled with everything that is around? And kings to the brightness of your rising. I know many of you saw several video clips, and I want to just conclude with this video clip. Basically, it's the context is paradise, and there's a husband and wife, and they're in a car, and they're trying to get out of paradise. And as she's driving, or her husband's driving, she makes a prayer. And I just wanted you to see this little clip for 30-some seconds. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I don't know if you noticed, there were cars that were just stopped there. Did they stop because they ran out of gas? Did they stop because they didn't know if they should continue moving forward? Brothers and sisters, if there's ever a time that we need Jesus to be driving our car, it's now. Amen? He knows the way. He can get us out of this mess that we human beings are in. Amen? He's inviting us to trust Him. And yes, it's going to look very hard to trust Him. It's going to look like there's no way we're going to get out of this. But by God's grace, we will. Amen? It's going to literally take a miracle. But praise God that Jesus is that miracle. Amen? And what we need to do, we can't wait to do it tomorrow. Tomorrow might be too late. What we need to do now. Amen. And ask God, God, what is it that you want me to do? I know that God this week clearly said, Sam, be ready. Be ready, Sam. Just don't know. Be ready. I don't know what God's going to call you to do. But whatever that is, it will be in harmony with the Word of God. Amen? Isaiah chapter 8 tells us, to the law and to the testimony, if they don't speak according to this, it's because there's what? No light. So whatever God's calling you to do will be in harmony with His Word. And by God's grace, we will arise and shine. Amen.